You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 641, recorded on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. Make it attractive. Wells Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. So pleased today to have joining us Brian Pulfer from out in Carlsbad, California, and some rebranding they did for their school. I think you're going to find his story interesting and maybe even inspiring, maybe helping you rethink how you can reach out with the different tools that are available in your community to let people know about the good stuff you have going on in your ministries. We talk a little bit more about the book Atomic Habits, some great picks and tips of the week, ministry resources, and all the rest. Welcome to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 641, and we're recording it on November 3rd. It's a Tuesday in the year 2020. And it's election day, finally. Sally Draper joining me. How are you, Sally?
I'm good, and I voted already. How about you?
I voted, it's at least 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point, so it's a little bit anticlimactic.
Yeah, me too. I voted early.
So with the pandemic and everything, and you know, with the larger turnouts, I thought, yeah, let's just do this the easy way. And it was easy. You just, especially if you're married, because you do need a witness, at least in the state of Wisconsin. I don't know how it works elsewhere, but she witnessed mine and I witnessed hers, and we threw it in the mailbox. And I hope, the votes are on their way and counted, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I got to trust the system there. I actually signed up for the vote by mail thing, and I did a few of the primary voting rounds, but I had opted to not vote by mail for the presidential election. So when you sign up in Wisconsin, you can say just make them all by mail or pick the ones you want to do by mail. Kevin, my husband, opted to get them all by mail. So he got his in the mail and I didn't. And that made me worry, like, did I opt out of that? I wasn't quite sure. So, but we decided he would go in and turn his in person because, you know, just to make sure the mail wasn't any issue. And then I voted in person, but it was kind of funny because they basically gave me the vote by mail ballot and I sealed it in the same vote by mail ballot envelope. And they witnessed it, but I did it there. Gotcha. Yeah. So, but yeah.
No excuses. Well. Lots of different ways to do it. So, and at least here in Wisconsin, it's a beautiful day. It's going to be in the 60s. And
thrills.
If you have to stand outside 6 feet apart, not so bad to do it today. But
that's true.
Good stuff. Now we have to wade through the results and, we'll see.
That may not be real soon, unfortunately.
You know what the best thing of the whole thing is that tomorrow, hopefully, we will see no more ads.
Oh, and no more mail. My mailbox has just been full.
Really? I didn't get that much.
Oh, my goodness. Every day we got 4 or 5 pieces of mail for the last 3 weeks at least.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
Oh, well. Anyway, voting day or not, election day or not, we are doing a podcast, and it has nothing to do with voting, although it does have to do with ads, interestingly enough. We are talking with a member of the Board of Education out at Carlsbad Christian Academy, not always Carlsbad Christian Academy, and that's part of the story. They used to be Beautiful Savior Lutheran School, and they rebranded themselves for a number of different reasons. And so we were let know, somebody in the building here let us know that Brian Pulfer, who we interviewed, had a great story to tell and thought that it would be good for him to come on our show and talk about some of the things that he did and considerations that he made or they made as a school board about the name of the school and some of the ways that they use to reach out, especially digitally. So I'm really excited to share the interview with you all, and then we can come back and talk a little bit about it. So here is Brian Pulfer. On the show today, joining us, and we're really happy to have him, is Brian Pulfer, Wells member and on the Board of Education at Carlsbad Christian Academy. Welcome, Brian. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to join you today.
You're out there on the left coast, so thanks for getting up a little early for us. Appreciate that. Tell us a little bit about yourself, family, job, church, anything you want to share to help our audience get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. So I'm born and raised in Illinois, actually. Went to some parochial school in Aurora, Illinois, Resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Resurrection,
there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Midwest kid.
Pastor Shupman, going, right?
Yeah, correct. Pastor Shupman out there, he's been there a long time. He's a fantastic man. Blessing to have him at that church. So I worked professionally out there in the Illinois area as a commercial freight transportation manager. Spent some time out there working down Chicago at some third-party logistics companies. My main job function in my career has been get stuff from A to B in an efficient way. Mm-hmm. And so took those skills, decided that California seems pretty nice on my radar. I visited there when I was in high school and thought that would be a fantastic place to live one day and keep it on my radar. So 2016, I packed my bags and moved to California. Nothing but my Toyota Camry full to the brim. And ended up working out here for Samsung for about 3 years professionally on their transportation side, specifically moving their televisions out of their manufacturing facility down here in Mexico. San Diego's very close to that border. So I call San Diego my home now, and just love it out here. Absolutely love it. As soon as I got to my congregation here, founded in Carlsbad, asked how I could help, and they said they had an opening on the Board of Education, and that's kind of how this whole thing got started.
Very good. Well, congregation name is Beautiful Savior, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. So Beautiful okay. Savior Lutheran, spelled with an old English U, out there in Carlsbad.
Very good. And so tell us a little bit about the school atmosphere and what you were seeing there in the school and maybe how you what that sparked in you to get started there.
Sure. So at Beautiful Savior Lutheran School, we were a school that existed for about 40 years, 43 years, and we had gone through, what a lot of us Wells schools are experiencing, not only here on the West Coast, but also around the country, where we had some really good growth in the 90s and 2000s. And we've seen a steady decline in our enrollment since then. We have fantastic teachers in the Wells. We just struggle a little bit sometimes to tell everybody that we exist. And I felt at our school that was one of our main problems, is that we have great teachers. Just not enough people knew we existed. So took on a rebrand project to change our name from Beautiful Savior Lutheran School to Carlsbad Christian Academy. We did that in an attempt to redefine who we are to our community, to the outside. So when they saw us on our online digital presence, they knew that we aren't necessarily a school that only serves the congregate members of Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church, but also we're a private school for serving the Carlsbad community. And that was kind of where we started. That was infancy. From there, we proceeded to, look at our digital presence was our big thing, because we feel that people are on their phones majority of the time, and passing out flyers for recruitment or canvassing in the area, it felt very off-putting when we were coming up to people out there on the beach and handing a flyer. We thought maybe we should try something different in order to keep our Wells school going. We had 14 kids in our K to fourth grade. We had recently shut down our fifth and eighth grade program with the attempts to bring back one grade every year. And so this year is our year of bringing back that fifth grade. And our enrollment come June wasn't as strong as we wanted it to be to keep the school going. So we built a new website, started advertising on Google, on Facebook, made all of our pages reflect our new name in terms of review sites, Yelp, niche.com, et cetera. And we felt that that was important to get everything succinct and moving forward in the new chapter. And we proceeded to have over 150 people inquire for tours in a 100-day period at our school, and filling up our school to close to 90. We're at 87 students right now, and the tour requests keep coming. So we're very happy with how our rebrand has gone so far. We do have a lot of new people from the community that are joining us, who a lot of them have a church already, but they're looking for a private Christian education, which helped our school body stay alive. So we're very happy to have all these new families, to nurture these new families, and to do what we are, a mission, and teach all these kids God's word every day.
So let's talk a little bit about specifically some of the tools and techniques that you considered and used. What did you find to be most successful as you kind of looked at the wide spectrum of things that you could use? You mentioned a few, you know, Facebook and Google Ads, those kinds of things. What do you think was kind of the most bang for the buck, so to speak?
Sure, that's a great question. Bang for the buck, I highly advise anybody to go on Google. Google has this service called Google My Business, or Verify Your Google Business. It's a Google location where Google wants you to upload all your information about your facility, your hours, how to contact you. And they're the number one search engine in the world. And you can honestly just register your business there, and they say it can do leaps and bounds from the research I've looked at in terms of increasing your Google ranking. For example, Beautiful Savior Lutheran School ranked 40th for the search Private Schools Carlsbad, California. Carlsbad Christian Academy now, after we updated our hours, verified our business, put pictures on there, we ranked third, which in Google, there's a thing called the local three-pack, which if you do a Google search for anything, you usually see like a list of three things in a map that pop up, and Google My Business helps you get and rank better highly on there. They even teach you how to stay ahead. They give you numbers on some of your competitors in terms of the photos they have posted. They pretty much teach you post more photos to stay ahead. So over the summer, we continued to post photos and work on our search engine optimization on our website. But that Google location, I would say, is number one biggest contributor to our success. It's not the only thing. It's part of the overall package. But for something being free, I highly encourage all schools to do it, to put your school on the map.
I was just going to ask you the price tag on that. We love that free word.
We love free. We do too over here.
good deal. So beyond Google My Business, then you did have a little bit of a budget. I would think you spent some money on this advertising. Can you give us an idea of how you spent your dollars, where they were distributed?
Sure. So our dollars were spent between Google Ads and Facebook Ads. We ran a couple different Google campaigns that ran us about $2,000. And then we also ran Facebook ads. We ran about 5 campaigns. We would typically set our budget at about $50 for each campaign and just play with the different target markets that we were trying to reach. We found that short 8 to 10 second videos worked best in terms of engagement. We probably all have fallen susceptible to this, going on Facebook, clicking on a video, and continue the scroll to several other videos that are underneath that. And Carlsbad Christian Academy is the one popping up right there. So we figured let's advertise and get into people's homes. Let's get into their phones. That's where attention is. And we think that we spent maybe $800 on five different ads, but it took us a little tweaking at first. We spent maybe a little bit too much money on our ads. They run for a certain period of time, you can set on Facebook, and we found 5 to 10 days works well, and then start a new campaign. Sometimes customers need to be hit with a brand, you know, 4 to 7 times before they're ready to feel comfortable or ready to buy. And by running multiple campaigns, they'll see other content and they'll constantly, you know, be reminded that we're here in your community. Big thing for setting up those ads is work within what you think a school commute would be in your area. Is that 10 miles or 15 miles? And target that market. You don't need to target the whole United States. You'll spend way too much money. Just target, you know, your local area and use your dollars efficiently.
Yeah, very good. I'm just wondering, what kind of reactions did you get? A lot of engagement on Facebook, or was it more about pushing them to your website and having them fill out a form or something like that?
Absolutely. So our strategy was bring them to the website, create overall engagement to where people would be trafficked to our website. We would set up a landing page on our own website to where it was for scheduling a tour. So many people, when they get to a website, you know, they can't even find to do what they're trying to do. And our whole thought process is, don't make it hard for people to get into the door or sign up. If you can't find, you know, how to schedule a tour very quickly, people are going to give up.
Mm-hmm. Do you think COVID played some into the interest level? Were parents really primed for finding alternative education for their students?
So I'll share something in terms of, we attacked COVID in terms of even our Google ads. I ran a keyword search to where if someone typed in our zip codes areas or our target market, you know, schools reopening, our ad was on there. That was one of our keywords. We think COVID played a good part of this. I think parents felt like they wanted in-person instruction. California was mm-hmm. looking at a hybrid model this year in terms of being indoors and or being online or in-person versus online. They started off the year as completely online. So we definitely were a safe haven to some of those parents who were looking for in-person instruction, and we were able to provide it for that. We had to apply for a waiver with the county to open on August 24th. We did apply for that waiver. They did not complete the process because our county opened up to where COVID was no longer an issue and schools could go back at that time. But we were ahead of the game for the public schools, and I think that did play a strong role in the interest in our community. We had, in one day, the day the governor announced that schools were starting online, we had 16 tour requests at our school that day. Mm-hmm. So for me to say COVID was not a part of it would be absolutely not true. I think it was a big component of it. And parents were ripe for something different. I think they are in the public schools. Mm-hmm. They're getting a little bit tired of, you know, what's going on here. And I think COVID may have pushed some of those over the edge.
Great placement to be ready for that. So obviously you've got to be looking forward and to what kind of challenges maybe lie ahead to be able to sustain this, obviously, and continue to grow, continue to keep Carlsbad Christian Academy on people's minds. Do you have plans around what the future holds for you?
Sure. So with our school, we rebranded so we were looking to, you know, make sure that we identify with our community a little bit better than our old school, whether that means doing some extracurriculars that kind of keep us in touch with who we are. We're only a mile away from the ocean. I personally think it would be cool to have a surfing program here. Sand volleyball, which is also free. We don't have sports fields at our campus. So maybe let's not try to do sports that we don't have the resources for, or maybe utilize what's in our community and people can see us out there. We've kind of pivoted towards that. We realized that with COVID this year, some students might be looking to go back to the public school next year. It's our job to nurture them this year and show them how we're different. We have not had any students drop out currently with the schools already reopening. So we think that's, that's really important. But we are aligning our enrollment season this year with the call process to better align our growth and the staff that we need for our campus. So we're going to continue to do Google and Facebook advertising here starting in November and running that through April, just to make sure we have a great idea of how many people are actually interested in our school. This year, we unfortunately had to turn away about 25 students, which is something that we never would have anticipated last year. We were begging people to come to our school with such low enrollment. So we're getting prepared to, how can we spend our advertising budget well and fill up our school and also have that align with how many teachers we can have? So we're kind of rethinking that whole process this year.
Excellent. Well, any closing advice if other churches and schools wanted to embark on something similar, one or two things you might recommend they consider?
Yeah, I would say have all of your website and media that you have online mobile friendly. 70% of our traffic on our website is on a mobile device. It doesn't help when your costs of your school are cut off on the mobile device and you can't see it. I've run into that multiple times on multiple pages I've looked at, and you're just not doing yourself a service. Me, personally, when I look at a website, I'm just going to confirm there that you are a legitimate business, you're easy to read, and confirm that I'm not making a mistake buying. So I didn't want to scare people away by our website, and I think an unfriendly mobile version of a website absolutely does that and causes somebody who would be a potential student almost, or somebody to potentially hear God's word every day, right? And they're moving on to the next one. And that's not doing us the service that we need.
Well, Brian, we just really appreciate you taking the time to join us on Wells Tech and just the investment you've made, being willing to share that the way you have. It's a wonderful blessing to the church at large, and we appreciate that. So continued blessings there at Carlsbad. Sounds like you're having a really fun school year. So,
yep. Thank you very much, and appreciate you guys having me on.
Good to have you. I'm going to jump in, Martin, and say right off the bat, I mean, we're both like eager to talk about this, but I would say if anyone listening is a layperson in your congregation, please follow Brian's lead. What a huge blessing he's been.
Use your gifts. Yeah, jump in. Yep,
for sure. For sure. So that's just one little side lesson we learned. But man, it was like drinking from a water hose, a fire hose, to hear all the different tips and techniques that Brian had to share. We have his document where he wrote up all of this in great detail. So we'll put that link in the show notes as well.
And I don't think that he came into it with just a ton of experience or expertise. I mean, he did his research. You could obviously tell that. And he understood by the time they were done the ins and outs, and you know, the proof is in the pudding. You try some stuff, and if it doesn't work, you try some other stuff, and you figure it out as you go. So I think A plus in just kind of the stick-to-itiveness and the desire to roll up the sleeves and just figure the stuff out and go for it.
Yeah, I will say the write-up includes a link to a book I hadn't heard of, Fishing on the Other Side, A Guide to Being the Church in the Digital Age. So maybe that's a book we should check out perhaps for a future Wells Tech
read. Wells Tech reading list, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, again, all the stuff he talked about and relevant information will be in the show notes, and that's at wellstech.wells.net. Wanted to take a little bit of time today. We've taken kind of a month off of our book review. Speaking of the Wells Tech reading list, we've been reviewing a book, and we do this about once a year, called Atomic Habits. And it's James Clear is the author, and he has kind of given us a lot to think about. We went through the first law the last time we spoke about the book, which is in order to make these atomic habits, these little things that make a big difference or can make a big difference, the way you set these habits is, first of all, to make them obvious, make the triggers for practicing these good habits, these good atomic habits, make it obvious. The second law was the topic of chapters 8 through 10, which we wanted to talk at least a little bit about today, and that is make it attractive. The second law, make it attractive. Anything stick out to you as you read through these chapters, Sally, about making these things attractive, these habits?
Well, he starts off this section talking about things that we're attracted to, are interested in, are excited about, and what makes it that way. And, you know, boiling it down to some real simple things that we have in common. Oftentimes we're excited about junk food, pizza, or whatever, something salty, something sweet, whatever. And when you actually study kind of the psychology of what your mind's doing behind the scenes, it has more to do with the anticipation than the actual receiving of that junk food or whatever it is that we're excited to be. So the focus became on the lead up to a behavior or the anticipation. And that really resonated with me. I can think of many times when I'm so excited and just overwhelmed by anticipation, and that makes me want to do something when that kind of anticipation is there. And so that definitely related to the way my mind works, at least.
Brain works, yep. Mm-hmm. And this irresistibility, I mean, he uses the word temptation. And I think there's a negative connotation, certainly, to that word, at least in our circles. But temptation, something that tempts us, can also be used in a positive way. And that was part of the story here, where he coins the phrase temptation bundling. We had in the first law, he talked about habit stacking, putting two habits together, or putting a habit that you already have with something that you want to do and put those two together. That's habit stacking. Temptation bundling. He talks about the story of, I don't know if it was a scientist or some kind of psychologist who loved Netflix but hated exercise. So what he did is he built an exercise bike that would generate or give power to his Netflix playing device, whatever that was, TV or whatever it was, so that if he exercised, if he pedaled, Netflix would continue to play. If he stopped pedaling, Netflix would stop. So he bundled what he wanted, Netflix, with what he needed, exercise. And that's kind of the illustration he gave for temptation bundling.
Yep. And he talked about the fact that we follow and are tempted, or whatever you want to use that term, that anticipation, mm-hmm. based on groups of people that we're part of. So, and I think we would totally agree with this as well. If you're around a group of people that has certain habits, you're going to emulate those habits, whether they're good or bad habits. And so kind of taking a step back and evaluating what are the habits you want to achieve, and are the associations that we have, you know, fostering that. Right. Following those same kind of habits.
Yeah, he talked about three groups there. Like we tend to imitate the behavior of three different kinds of groups. Call them the close, the many, and the powerful. So the close obviously would be, you know, family and friends, you know, those people that you surround yourself. And if they have certain habits, you may wind up wanting those habits yourself. So, you know, that makes a lot of sense, right? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Mm-hmm. The many is obviously the power of the masses, the popular opinion. We'd rather be wrong with the crowd than right by ourselves. And he gave a number of examples of how the many can dictate running against the grain is really hard. Kind of made me thought of being in the world but not of the world. That's easy to say, but very hard to do. And then finally, the powerful, and this one I think we all know, it's the role models that are out there, the football stars, the singing stars, we want to be like them. We're driven by, and in this case, kind of negative things, pride and envy. So we want to be like them. We want to be different than the way we are. So those are all very powerful things that shape our habits. And obviously we need to recognize those, but then pick carefully those that could influence us.
Yep. And then finally, if you recognize bad habits that you have, he gives you some help along those lines. And maybe those bad habits are coming from some of those groups you just described, Martin. Mm-hmm. But basically being aware of what the influences are. And then if you recognize bad habits, kind of reframing them. So perhaps a bad habit is to snack to relieve anxiety or to avoid exercise because it makes you tired or something like that. If you can turn that around and envision what exercise does for you in a positive way and focus on that, then that's going to allow you to shift gears, kind of get the converse of that bad habit going, do the positive side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned exercise. Rather than it thinking of it as something that tires you out, you think of it as something as building you up, building strength, building endurance, making you healthier, making you feel better in the long run. Money the same way, not spending now increases options for opportunities later.
Mm-hmm. So doing something you enjoy and envisioning how it's going to affect you, maybe bundling something you don't enjoy as much along with it, but having that vision of the positive side of the habit is going to make a big impact.
Yep. So that's chapters 8 through 10, the second law, make it attractive. There are two more laws, and it gets a little bit even more interesting, I think, as we get toward the end. He brings it all together and makes a lot of sense and has helped me. I've read this a number of times now and trying to generate or build these better habits. And they're not always huge things, but they're just kind of incremental small things. But when added together, make a big difference. So, all right, Sally, let's continue one of our habits, hopefully a good one. And that's our picks of the week.
One of my favorite parts of the show, Martin, and always interesting what's kind of in front of you as you're preparing for the show. What are new things or mm-hmm. things that have stuck out to you? And this week, I want to just give a shout out to my friends at LWMS. LWMS stands for Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, and it's a group of ladies that go back many years in support of Wells Home and World Mission Outreach. And so I kind of think of it as a little pep squad for our missions office. And Martin, you and I in our day job get to work with the great folks in the Home and World Mission offices and the Joint Mission Council. I actually have taken on a new role with LWMS, and it's just a little tiny minor role, but it's something that I'm learning to appreciate and enjoy a whole lot. And that is that I'm doing more of their social media, which is focused right now on Facebook posting, basically. And so I'm learning a lot about LWMS that I didn't know in the past. And I'm also, even better, doing that pep squad role for Wells Home and World Missions, because that's what LWMS is all about. As a matter of fact, their mission statement is right there on their Facebook page. It says, "Women dedicated to serving Jesus by increasing awareness of, interest in, and support of the mission outreach of Wells." And I've been doing more of that on the Facebook posting side, but it's been a huge blessing to me to be more engaged with those posts that I'm putting out there and the different mission positive things that we have to share, ways to kind of keep it on your heart, in front of your eyes on a regular basis. So my pick is basically to point you to the LWMS Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/LWMS.wells, W-E-L-S. And we'd love it if you aren't already following the page, if you would go ahead and give it a like and start seeing more of those Facebook posts in your own personal Facebook feed if you're a Facebook user. So that's my pick.
Very nice. You called it a little pep squad. It's actually not so little. There are tens and thousands of ladies across the world of this, and it's neat when they come together. And unfortunately, they couldn't do that last year. And I don't think they – I don't know what the plans are this year. But
yeah, we are planning a convention in the Cincinnati area next summer. Yes.
Good. Sight to behold, you know, just to all those ladies coming together for around the important work of sharing the gospel far and wide. So neat. Nice pick. And thank you for doing that. That is that is a super neat thing and super necessary, too.
Lots of fun.
Day and age. Yeah. Good deal. Good deal. All right, my pick of the week is actually a mind mapping solution. We've talked about mind mapping not in probably a long time. It's something that I'm very fond of using for brainstorming, for note-taking, for a number of different things. If you're not familiar with what mind mapping is, it's essentially it comes out of educational circles and psychological circles where it's a concept of radial thinking where you have a central topic and then around that topic you put related thoughts. And then it's good for brainstorming because you don't have to structure like an outline. So you don't have to have, you don't have to think linearly, which is actually not natural. We don't think usually from start to end. We think around a topic. And mind maps make that easy to do, where you throw thoughts down and you reorganize and you organize and you have subtopics. And it also helps the memory because you can put images where it sits on the page makes a difference in your it's just kind of memory helpers. We had used way back when we started the podcast, we used a mind map to organize all of our scripts, or not scripts, we don't really script it, but we organize it, we outline it. Yeah, exactly. It's clear to everybody that we don't script this thing. But we use a tool called Mind Manager, and we had some, I mean, it's a high-end tool and works well, except sometimes it didn't sync, and we just weren't getting what we needed out of it. Yeah, and so We left that behind, and ever since then, I'd kind of been looking for a replacement for it, and I found this tool, and I've only been using it for 2 or 3 weeks, so I can't put a full 100% seal of approval on it, but so far, I'm really liking what I'm seeing. It's called Gitmind, GITMIND.com, and it's all web-based, and some of the problems we've had, or I've had with web-based tools, and we've tried a few of those too, have been, you know, they don't have all the features, and they don't work quite as well as kind of the local apps, but I haven't found that to be the case. This works nicely on an iPad, an iPhone, certainly in a web browser. It gives you all the basic mind mapping tools where you have nodes and subnodes and images and connectors and all the things that make a mind map. Good exporting tools if you want to share it, PDF, PNG, JPEG, exports, those kinds of things. One thing it doesn't do is import your other mind map. So if you've been using Mind Manager or FreeMind or those kinds of things, it doesn't import that kind of stuff. So you have to kind of start from scratch. But I really like what it does, and it is totally 100% free. So it's online, which is a great plus because it's going to cross-platform. 100% free. I don't think the creators are English is their first language. Just looking at some of the documentation, it's a little rough in a couple of different places. But everything that I've seen with the app is really rock solid so far. So you can log in with a Google account or, you know, create your own account, etc. They have a bunch of templates. They have some blogs that help you through it, some instructional videos, just a nice, solid mind mapping solution. So, and again, totally free. All your stuff is maintained in the cloud. There's no way to save it locally, so you actually have to trust their privacy, of course. But usually when you're doing mind mapping, it's not something that needs total security. So far, I've been really pleased with the fluidity of it and the stability of it. So if you are in the market for something like that, try GetMind, GetMind.com.
So, Martin, maybe you mentioned this and I missed it, but have you done any collaboration, having two people in the same mind map at the same time and not cross the beams kind of stuff?
Yeah, not a lot. I can't say that I've really kicked all those tires, but definitely the collaboration works. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, so there is collaboration. So you send somebody a link. It can be password protected. It's for them to get in, so they have to put in their code, then they get in. They obviously have to have an account, and it's really easy to create one, and then away you go. So I'm gonna I'll report back on more of that. I'm just starting to do that with people, but it seems real easy to do. So we'll see.
Awesome, great find. Thank you for sharing.
All right, that is our picks of the week. Let's go move on to our ministry resource of the week.
Yeah, and this week we want to share an article from our friends at Church Tech Today. They've been around a long time, and they have a very timely article that just came out called Christmas Event Planning Amid COVID-19. And I think many in our congregations and schools are turning to that time of year where they've got to make some kind of hard decisions about, especially in our circles, our Christmas Eve service and our Christmas Day services and children's performances and those kind of things that are long traditions and something that is normally packed with people as tightly as possible into the pews to try to fit all the crowd in at once. And obviously, it doesn't look like we're going to be crowding in anywhere anytime soon. And so what does that mean for the children's Christmas Eve performance or your Christmas Day special worship or whatever? This article is a great kind of scaffolding to begin to think about those things. So looking at what you're staffing, how many people are going to be available, that kind of thing. And then identifying a vision for your events that you're planning. So how many people can you have in the building at once? How many volunteers will need to clean up between the services? Do you want to do recording and live streaming and maybe record in advance and play that at a certain time as your event or whatever? And I will just kind of share in line with some of the ideas that are listed there as you're identifying your vision. I've heard a lot of different people already commenting, we're going to do twice as many children's programs, and or we're going to do the grade levels in separate programs, or our church in particular is going to move the program to the gymnasium, which obviously is a larger space than our worship sanctuary, so people can be, a larger group can be accommodated with still the social distancing required and things like that. But they're also opening up the dress rehearsal, the final dress rehearsal, as a performance time, basically, of the program. Have you guys at Peace in Hartford made any decisions like that that you're aware of?
We're just beginning the process of considering options. So we were kind of in a wait-and-see mode. So I think there are some important decisions here in the next couple of weeks. We're trying to plan for Thanksgiving, first of all, so what we were doing there, and then obviously the bigger one, which would be Christmas.
This article goes on to say you should create a detailed plan and coordinate your volunteers, and then finally keep your heart at peace. This has been a crazy year. We've said it before. We'll say it again, I'm sure. And God is going to bless our efforts. Whatever our decisions are, we obviously want to do the best for everyone that we're trying to reach with this wonderful news. But you can't let it eat you up, basically. You know, you have to say we've done our best and we're going to leave it at that when you do make these difficult decisions. Interesting to me, Martin, as I was reading the article, kind of a side note, that section that says create a detailed plan kind of listed out some things that rang a bell with me, Once you have a high-level plan, get a detailed-level plan, get on with your task and deadlines and assigning things, all that kind of project management type stuff that you and I talked about once upon a time as we collaborated to write a book together. And I just thought I'd make mention of that. With All Your Heart is still available on Amazon if anyone's looking for a project management book with the Eye Toward Ministry. You certainly could check out the book that Martin and I collaborated on. And some of these same planning techniques apply, obviously, not just to your Christmas programming, but to things that you do every day all throughout the year. So just thought I'd throw that in there as a side resource. So
very nice. Let's move on. Community feedback. That's a segment of our show where we take feedback from those listeners or those connected to Wells Tech in some way and share them with the rest of the class. What do we have today?
Well, first up, I want to link to a discussion thread from our Wells Tech Google group. So check out wellstech.wells.net to get the link. But in this discussion that was happening out in the Google group, someone asked about software to monitor the bandwidth usage in school. They're trying to upgrade to a higher bandwidth level, but they want to figure out what kind of bandwidth, throughput, latency, all those kind of things that they're getting with their current network, with their current business. And so several people had links and different monitoring software recommendations. Of course, there are so many variables that do affect that bandwidth. Even if someone promises you a high bandwidth, it's only as good as the slowest pipe that you're trying to push things through. So just always keeping that in mind. And I think some of the conversation kind of led, you know, developed around those thoughts and things. But definitely if it's something you're interested in, check out the link and read more about the recommendations that people shared there. And then secondly, a community feedback item that came from the Wells Teachers group that's formed since COVID-19. Wells Teachers During COVID-19 is the Facebook group name. And this was because we recently celebrated the Lutheran Reformation, and someone asked about a children's book, a book that's used at the preschool and kindergarten level called Who is Martin Luther? And this is actually a book that was published through NPH along with a few other books done by Dr. Sharon Burrow, who is a retired professor at Wisconsin Lutheran College. And she got some kind of a grant and put together a website where she has this book posted along with several other books that she's produced, religious books. And we will definitely include a link to this in the show notes. You can read through the different resources that are available there for the different books. And then the copyright usage is there on the website too, and it basically says free for classroom use. And so if that fits you and your early childhood ministry efforts, you may benefit from these books. I'll just run down the list of names. One's called, let's see if I go to the main page here, and I Can Go and Tell, Jelly Bean Easter Stories, Christian Countdown to Christmas, and Who is Martin Luther? So there's one for the upcoming Christmas season. So check those out, and if they're a benefit to you, then certainly make use of them in your classroom. That's very it nice. For community feedback.
And if somebody wanted to contribute to the show, how would they do that, Sally?
Let me count the ways. So you mentioned earlier, Martin, that we have a website. It's at wellstech.wells.net. That's where you're going to find the show notes. And you'll also find links to all our social media channels. So we're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and you can even leave links through Digo. So all of those channels, we're constantly monitoring for comments and link sharing and things like that. There's a way on the website over in the right-hand column to send us a voicemail, so you can actually record a message for us and we could play your voice on the show. Or you can send us an old-fashioned email. That's wellstech@wells.net. We'd love to hear from you.
Very good. The next segment of our show we call Wells Now, where we look around our Wells circles to find different happenings, events, resources. And this week, we wanted to highlight Christ Light, which is Northwestern Publishing House's offering for catechetical study and also Sunday school lessons. The news here is that with the pandemic, they have kind of pivoted a little bit and provided some resources that are take-homeable. So the remote learning portion of this is some additional video lessons. So they are extending this offering for winter and spring year two materials. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. And the lessons come with, as I mentioned, videos. This is for pre-K through sixth grade, I believe. So the lessons are available on YouTube, or the intro, and then there's printed material that the parent can use with the child, and also some activities that go along with that. So the December or the winter session starts December 13th, so you got a little bit of time to order those. It's 13 lessons, and then spring, March 21st. So if you have any interest and you've got those aged kids at home and you want to make sure that Sunday school is still a part of their life, even though they may not be able to have in-person Sunday school, this is a great way to do that. So again, thanks to our friends at Northwestern Publishing House, Christlight is available with at-home Sunday school lessons. So take advantage of that.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things. Our congregation is using it because we aren't doing Sunday school in person right now. So this has been a blessing.
Right, absolutely. All right, next time we gather together, we're going to have some friends with us. Rachel Felt and Jason Schmidt are going to join us. They're our semi-regular classroom technology correspondents. And we'll talk about things, goings-on within the ed tech community, the education technology landscape. Those guys are the experts. We're going to sit at their feet and learn some stuff, and hopefully you will too. So tune in next time for that. But that's going to do it for show 641. Sally, thanks so much for your work. And of course, thank you to our listeners for making this possible. We do it for you, and we're glad that you decide to spend a little bit of time with us, and bring your friends next time. Have a blessed election day or election week or whatever that turns out to be. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.